some time ago, the Lord laid it on my heart to preach about the truth. And we saw in the scripture and know that it's so, that there's no substitute for the truth. The Lord establishes the line of truth, the plummet line of truth. It's what he says, his word is the truth. And it's that for you and me, being his creation, mankind made in his image and his likeness. The Lord's churches are the pillar and ground of the truth. We're the institution in this age. For going on some 2,000 years since the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he built that first church and left her there in Jerusalem, that church from which all the Lord's churches have come from. Understand that denominationalism is not the same thing as talking about the Lord's church, church as an institution, or churches manifested, the Lord's kind of church manifested in his churches the world over. Denominationalism is a thing of men. There's been different ways that mankind has developed and put together, thinking that they're honoring the Lord and following the Lord. But the only institution that the Lord has given, the command that he's given, and the declaration that he has given, the commission that he has given, is to his New Testament churches, manifested in this day as Baptist Church. That's namely what they are called in our nation. There's been different names in times past. The name Baptist was given unto our forefathers by those that were against us, accusing us of being rebaptizers. That denominationalism, that other thing, those false ways, those churches that claim to be churches that are not, they have always persecuted the churches of the Lord. And so the Lord has given us a name that we hold in this day of Baptists, and the reason is because we are Baptists. We've been given a commission by our Lord, and being the pillar and ground of the truth, and that commission tells us to go and preach the gospel to every creature and to preach repentance unto them, a warning of judgment to come. And then that second part is this of baptizing the believers, those that come forward in repentance and faith, declaring that the Lord has saved them. He's given us the ordinance of baptism to administer. And what is baptism all about? We went back to the beginning and saw about this man, John the Baptist, a man sent by God, a man sent by God on a mission. And that's what we're going to take a look at this morning, to concisely put together and consider the mission of John the Baptist. He was the man sent with authority from God to baptize, to preach. That forerunner prophesied in the scriptures, the forerunner of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, a man sent ahead of him just by a number of months or maybe years to preach the Christ that is coming, the Christ that is at hand, that John declared, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," when he saw him. The one that John the Baptist baptized, the only one that he baptized, and when he baptized him, the Lord Jesus, and he came up out of the water, John was given not a warning, but a sign. When you see the Spirit of God descending and lighting upon one, you'll know that that's the one that I have sent to be the one that you're forerunning before, the one that you're running before. And so when he baptized Jesus, Jesus' ministry was notable enough that John said, "I have need to be baptized of you." But the Lord Jesus said, "No, we've got to fulfill all righteousness, and you are to baptize me." And then it happened. The Spirit of God, like a dove, descended from heaven and abode upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Then from there we see that Jesus and his disciples, his first church, are then baptizing there in John chapter 3, which we're going to go to. And it tells us at that point in time that John was still baptizing and the Lord's church is baptizing then. And that authority for baptism, we took a look at what the scripture says about it, that John's authority and mission was from God. And so, just like the Lord Jesus Christ's mission and authority, speaking of the Lord Jesus as a man, was from God the Father. And so, this is a part of what we're to be as Olmsted Baptist Church. We're to be a pillar and ground of this truth. A lot of things that are told about baptism, a lot of things that are misunderstood, a lot of things that man wants to bring in and say that baptism is. They think that there's thinking that baptism being so important as it is and what the Scripture says about it so, that we've got to elevate it to a point above where it's supposed to be. They accuse us of taking baptism and dragging it down below where it should be, a scriptural standpoint. But baptism is in its place, ordained by God, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, an identification by the individual that is saved, that a church administers baptism, a baptism unto them that takes and glorifies not the church, glorifies not the individual, but glorifies God when it's in its right place. And that is where the Lord has given it. And the Lord does a lot of things that seems weak unto men, but it's the power of God being manifested, that God would be glorified in all things when we obey Him. Baptism is not a sacrament, and baptism is not a willy-nilly thing that you and I can administer however to whomever we want. But it's been given unto us by our Lord for the purpose and the way that He has given unto us. This morning, I invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, as we just want to take a look at the mission of John the Baptist, a summary of why John was sent by the Lord. I think it's revealed right here in some other passages that we'll bring in. But the mission of John the Baptist. We've looked at the ministry of John the Baptist, the message of John the Baptist. We've seen the sanction of John the Baptist, his sanction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we saw about the sanction of Jesus upon of John, and that the Lord Jesus declared that John was Elijah that was to come. John had denied that. He said, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not that prophet." I think we see the humility and meekness of John there, sent to do the mission and the work that he was sent to do. But the Lord Jesus said that he is Elijah, the one that was prophesied there in Malachi. And we need to receive that. And the disciples there needed to receive that. And it says there in Matthew 17, "Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist." So the mission of John the Baptist. In John chapter 3, verse number 22, the Scripture says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." So Jesus and his church baptizing. "And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized." So John the Baptist is also John baptizing. "For John was not yet cast into prison by Herod." Verse 25, the mission of John the Baptist. "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." All right. The Son of God. John declared that he was the Son of God. He said, "Behold, the same that baptizeth, and all come to him." So John's disciples were very jealous of John, as they loved John. They were thankful for John. The Lord had used John to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus and the witness of the Lord Jesus unto them. And that's just the way it is amongst us. When the Lord uses somebody to carry the truth unto us, they become very special to us in that regard. It's just the way that it is. The salvation and the word and the gospel and the truth is from the Lord, but He uses means. He uses that means and the means of those that were willing to engage us, to pray for us, to tell us about our need of the Lord and that. And so it was with John's disciples. They were very sensitive about him and jealous of him. And they said, "That one that you testified about, everybody's going to him and being baptized now." John's mission. John answered and said, verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You know, this is something that you and I need to know, and it's true. It's never a fallback position for us to blame the Lord or lay any guilt on the Lord for our disobedience, our wickedness, our sin, our laziness, our lack of doing what the Lord has given us to do. But this, in fact, is the truth. No one can receive anything unless it's given to them of the Lord. We need to pray that our Lord would work on hearts. We need to pray that our Lord would cause His Word to be received by one another, by all. Whether it be those that are unsaved and they need to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, their need for repentance and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to pray that the Lord would open their heart. Whether it be a waywardness on a part of a brother or sister or doctrines in the Scripture that the Lord has given to us in His churches, that we just don't get a hand. We need to pray that the Lord would open our hearts into the things that we need to grow. We are to seek, as the Lord's children, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And we need to pray that the Lord will help us to do so, not just assume that we will. We need to pray, because no man can receive anything. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And the only way that you and I can ever have any spiritual discernment is by the Spirit of God illuminating us in our being to understand. You know what? I can't bring conviction for you, nor can you bring conviction for me. But we must all be convicted by the Lord, that the Lord's Word and what He says is the truth that I need. You would say this within you. His truth is what I need to follow, no matter who else buys into it or not. And so John, he hears this from his disciples. They're jealous about Jesus baptizing more than John. They're jealous about everybody going to Jesus rather than coming to John. And he says, you got to understand something, fellas. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He said, remember back to that. I told you I wasn't the Christ, not the Messiah, not the Savior, not the Deliverer. But I told you I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And there He is. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is here. He said, that's the way it's to be. That is my mission, is to run before Him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, verse 29. The one that has the bride is the bridegroom. He said, this work that He is doing, this church that He is building, this ecclesia, His assembly, His body of people, He's building that, and they're with Him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. I'm not the bridegroom. But He is. He is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, that's my place. I'm there, if you will, as some like to describe it. I'm the best man. I'm standing there beside the bridegroom. And he has the bride. This is a reference to the Lord's church, His one church that is there at this time with the Lord Jesus. He said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Understand that. And the friend of the bridegroom, that's me, which standeth and heareth him speak. He said, I've been preaching and I've been speaking, but I've been preaching and speaking about him. And now that he is on the scene, now that the bridegroom is on the scene speaking, what's he say? Which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. See, I told you he was coming. Told you he was coming. Told you he was here. Pointed him out to you. And now he is speaking. And I am thrilled to see him with the bride. And I am thrilled to hear his voice. That's John's mission. He said everything's right on track. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. John is there with a smile on his face. He's excited. He's happy that these things are coming to pass, that he's seeing them, that his mission is being accomplished and will be accomplished. Because the Savior has come. As his daddy prophesied when Zechariah's tongue was let go, he said that John would be the prophet of the highest. And the highest is here. The highest is here, John says. What's he say? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. My joy is full to see this come about, to experience this. Fellas, speaking to his disciples, they're jealous over him. He, the bridegroom, must increase, but I must decrease. My ministry is going to fade away. My place of being out in the forefront, preaching the Lord Jesus. My place in the forefront, that's going to go away. And he is going to come to the forefront. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. Understand about this bridegroom. He is above all, fellas. He is above all. He is the one. What was it that John said? I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. Now think about that. You and I, if we're going to help one another out and you needed to change your shoes, if something's going on, say, Brother Jim, my shoes are in the back seat of the car. Would you mind go get them? We think nothing about that. Be glad to go do that. Some of our younger folks' shoes, you might want to get a Walmart bag to pick them up with. But we wouldn't think anything about that. Be glad to help out that way. John says, I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. I'm not worthy to unlatch his sandals. Think about that. Not worthy to reach down and pull the drawstring, the tie. That's what John said about him. John said, he's preferred before me, but he comes after me. Because he was before me. And is. He that cometh from above is above all. This is he. He that is of the earth is earthly. That's me and you. And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. The words that John is rejoicing, the words that Jesus is proclaiming, the words that the Lord is speaking in that day, John says, those are the words that you need to hearken unto. It's time for me to get out of the way. It's time for him to be magnified and to be glorified. Verse number 32. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. You can trust his testimony. The testimony and the words of the Lord Jesus are trustable. His promises are sure. You can count on them. You can bank on them. What he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. There's no lie. There's no deceit. It is from heaven. It is God's work that he testifies of. And listen to what he says. And no man receiveth his testimony. It's largely rejected. And we go back to what John started this off in speaking to his disciples. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. That's the reason we need to tell what the Word of God says. We need to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give out the word of a coming judgment of mankind, men, women, boys, and girls. We need to testify that all are responsible before God and all need to repent of their sins before the Lord. That's the command of God. And many, many, many will not receive it. But you know what? When the Lord sends His Spirit, when the Lord makes His Word effectual, when the Lord illuminates and shines the light and stirs and touches hearts, you know what? Sinners hear. Sinners believe. Sinners receive. Sinners rejoice that such a word has come to them, a word of deliverance by this very Savior. Not deliverance by John the Baptist, but deliverance and salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he say here? And he that has received, he that hath received his testimony, the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one preferred before, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. So that's what, when a sinner receives the need for repentance, the need for receiving Christ, the need for believing and trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we signify in that God is true, and I'm the liar, I'm the sinner, I'm the criminal, I'm the one that has been deceitful and wicked and wrong, and God has been true, and He's been merciful and gracious and loving and sending His Son to deliver a worm like me. And no man receiveth his testimony. But in spite of all that wicked, natural carnalness of men, the Word and the Spirit of God breaks through. He said, no man receiveth his testimony. Verse 33, but then he said, he that hath received his testimony, in spite of the impossibility of sinners being saved, there are sinners that are saved by the power of God. He that hath received his testimony is set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Now, who did God send? Who did God send? Well, he sent John, didn't he? That's very clear. Who else did God send? His Son. And they speak the truth. I tell you what, this is not like top 10 political, international, important things facing society and mankind on the earth and in the universe. This isn't one of those things that's like in the top 10 or top 20. This is the top thing. This is before number one. That's needed by every single person on the earth. This is number one. And to our world and to our leadership and the way of mankind upon the earth, it's pushed down to be nothing. But I tell you what, this is number one. And brothers and sisters, we're the pillar and ground of the truth, of this very truth. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You know what? Me as a preacher, myself as a preacher, your pastor, you that are members here, your families, the Lord has given some of His Spirit unto me. By saving you, He's given some of His Spirit unto you. By being members of Olmsted Baptist Church, there's a work of the Spirit amongst us as one of His churches. But we've not got it all. We've got what we need. And we need to avail ourselves to more. And we need to go to the Lord. No man can receive anything except to be given of Him to the Father. That's the reason that I pray, Lord, fill us, fill me with Your Word and Your Spirit. We need that filling, that availing to that. Because I cannot take the effect of the Spirit and draw it to myself. But we need the Lord to give it unto us, and an understanding and a realization that that's the case. The Lord can do the impossible, and He can give us what we need. But Jesus Christ, He's got all the Spirit of God. When He opens His mouth, God is speaking. And you and I, we need to hearken unto it. And it doesn't matter how apathetic we might be, how cold-hearted we might be, how resistant we might be. I tell you what, we need to hear the word of the Lord and believe Him, trust Him, and go forward in it. Because you know what? The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has got all of the Spirit of God. Revelation tells us about that. That He controls the seven spirits of God. He sends them and works with them, uses them. And the way that the Lord explains to us about how He is. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He gives them by measure unto us, but not by measure unto him. He has all of the Spirit of God. For the Father loveth the Son, John says, and hath given all things into his hand. Don't you think that you and I ought to listen to one like that? I tell you what, we ought to be there waiting on edge, on the edge of our seats, on the tip of our toes to hear what he is saying. And not just take it as another voice amongst voices for us to choose from. Because the Lord Jesus is God. The Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath, right now, everlasting life. Do you believe on Him? Have you trusted Him? Do you rest in Him and rely on Him to do the things that He has done? Do you believe that when He came and lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, that He did that for you because you needed it? Are you saved? Is the Spirit of God living within you? You have Jesus Christ, and He has you. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Reject Him. Go your own hard-hearted way. Make up a pile of excuses that make sense to you and to the world. Choose the route of apathy and not caring. Choose the route of uncertainty and not knowing. You know, that's what the Lord does. Is he brings certainty. He brings peace. He brings truth. He brings order and understanding in a world of chaos and recklessness. Follow after some excuse, some device of the world, the lies of Satan, the lies of the world, and you'll not see life. But believe. Believe in the Son. See, the Lord has ordained it that sinners like you and I are saved by faith, reliance in Him. Why? That He might be glorified. The Scripture speaks about that we are, in Romans, that we are saved by hope. And understand that hope in the Scripture is not like lottery kind of hope. You put your money down, hope to win. Might not win. Listen, you probably won't win. Hope in the Scripture is not lottery hope. Hope in the Scripture is what God says He's going to do. Are you a sinner? Yes. Are you guilty? Yes. Is there any way you can be saved? No. Is there one that can save you? Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ. How can He save you? He came, He lived, He suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again so that a sinner like you can be saved if you'll believe Him and trust Him for it. You know what? It doesn't depend on you. What you can pay, what you can build, what you can pursue, what you can promise God. But God is glorified by the salvation of sinners when they trust in Him. That's the design. Zero horsepower on our part. Faith. Faith in His Word and His promises. Remember how John said, I'm rejoicing greatly to hear His voice. I pray that you would hear His voice if you're here and you're not saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him now. The mission of John the Baptist was to be that forerunner of Christ, to be pointing to Him. And as Christ Jesus came on the scene, John's mission was to back away, to decrease, as he said. And he told that to his own disciples. He said, I told you plainly I wasn't the Christ. I wasn't Elijah. I wasn't that prophet. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And here he is. And here he is. Luke chapter 1. The mission of John the Baptist. Verse number 17, simply. The scripture says here, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts to the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The mission of John the Baptist was to do just this. What else can I say about it? That was his mission, to make a people prepared for the Lord, to tell a people that the Savior is coming. See, the Old Testament prophets had prophesied and told about, hinted about it. The Lord in the Scripture gave glimpses of it, gave some small pictures of it and little pieces of it. But John showed up and said, it's time. He's here. This is the one. That was John's mission, to declare unto us the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John, back there in chapter 1, we pick it up in verse number 32. Verse 32 through 37. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. John was sent to be a forerunner of Christ. John was sent to tell that the Savior is here, to make a people prepare, make ready a people prepared for the Lord, and to baptize those that repented and believed. That was John's mission, to be the authority, the arriving on the scene on earth of the authority of baptism and the symbol that it is, the token that it is, of what Christ has done, of what the Lord Jesus does for the sinner that is saved. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. So it is with the believer. They die to self and to sin and are raised to new life in Christ. They publicly testify that. I've been saved by the Lord, and Jesus has done it for me. Isn't that something with others? With others that don't understand about baptism? I've been baptized, and I've done it. I've got it done. I mean, it's like, if you say it out loud, it's blasphemous, isn't it? The Lord has saved me, and I have finished it. That's not what it's all about. It's what Jesus has done for us. He that sent me to baptize with water, verse 33 there of John 1, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw him bear record that this is the Son of God. And again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John was sent to be a forerunner of Christ, to point the Lord Jesus Christ out, to declare that he is the Lamb of God and that the Savior has come as was prophesied for so many hundreds of years in the Scripture, and to be a baptizer of sinners and have that authority of baptism that was passed on by God, given to John, and then from John to the Lord and his church, and then from there on all the way down to here to Olmsted Baptist Church. Not because of us, not because of how great we are, but because of how great the Lord is in this wonderful, marvelous work that he has done. John the Baptist. The mission of John the Baptist. John's message was given to him by our Lord, by our God, and is the message that we still preach today, isn't it? Baptism given to John by God is that by which He baptized. It's still the same baptism we administer to believers today as His church. Same one. This is the truth regarding baptism, of which we here at Olmsted Baptist Church are a pillar and ground of. We're to hold this forth and to tell it straight and to tell it true in a world that is so mixed up about it. Baptism is a Baptist distinctive. If we don't have it right about baptism, then we are not Baptists. And that's the way that it is.